And then Course in Miracles helps us understand all these teachings better. Including anger. Including violence. Which is not so easy to understand when it's pointed at you and you think that you're not guilty. But that's what the world's made of, is these differences. And that if something out there were different, then I could be happy. The world's made that way.
That's an interesting thought, what you just said. Because if you're feeling like somebody or something is angry at you,
mm-hmm.
or attacking you in some way,
yep.
and we get what we give,
yes.
then somehow or another we earn that anger. We not earn it, but we brought it on ourselves.
You spot it, you got it.
Yeah.
Is a truth Course in Miracles teaches.
I didn't know it came from the Course in...
Oh. No.
I've used that line for years.
Well, it came from wherever you heard, but the Course in Miracles... The Course doesn't have that phrase, but it has that teaching.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I could also say...
a more sophisticated way.
Course teaches karma, too. Oh. But not the karma you've heard... with the past, since Course says there is no past, in truth there's no time. But it says, you who are so drunk on time and raised by the click of the clock and go to work by the hour still, you really can't understand when we say there's no time. That's a quote. And yet it teaches the essential law of karma that came over from the east and you, all that. But it's not exactly the same, but it's exact truth. As you give, you receive. When you give, you receive. That's the karma of A Course in Miracles.
It's one of the reasons I don't like to give Trump, for instance, any energy about what he's doing or saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know if I give it energy, I'm going to get it back at me somehow.
When? Somehow. She said somehow. When would she get...
Immediately.
Immediately! Before she even finishes to pee on Trump. She's already got it boiling inside, right?
Yeah.
I got a great instant karma. I was doing a handyman job and had to do a dump run and couldn't quite get it all in. So I'm like, okay, I'll do a little secondary dump run. I'll just go hit the dumpster behind Safeway. Save myself a few bucks. Save myself an hour. So I went and did it. I'm looking around. Everything's good. I back in to hit the dump run, smash my dad's taillight out on his pickup truck. Like, it was like I wasn't even dumping stuff yet.
It's already. But your intention is what matters.
Now I got a $300 taillight to repair.
Yeah.
Hopefully that job paid for it.
No. Instant karma. I'm banking this one as experience.
Instant karma. Okay. So...
did you have a bit of a feeling of guilt when you thought, well, I'll just use Safeway?
I did.
That's what you got back.
I did.
Programmed it right up.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, welcome to A Course in Miracles. And tonight, let's think about a little maneuver of mind that we've been discussing a bit already. A little box that you make with your thought. Let's just call it a prison for the box that you make with your thoughts. Jeff's got a story now. He's sticking to it. We all tell ourselves stories that then we decide are true or at least make more sense, and now we're limited by our story. Course calls that a prison for good reason. So let's just think about that particular word. Feel it. It's a big symbol for what you're doing every day and what we're here to bust wide open and be free of. So take a few minutes. Just think about this word, prison. We have to get practical with A Course in Miracles, because as you go home and do this thing, and you get that workbook lesson in front of you, you have to have a sense of support, that the book knows what you're going through.
I said you better believe it.
You better believe it. That what the book is asking you to do, you can do. Because the book is aware of what you're up against. Hi, Cecily. This is really an important practical piece of doing the Course in Miracles. Depending on what issue you bring to the lesson of the day, but if you do the workbook throughout a day, you will bring some tough stuff during that year. And you'll wonder, can I actually apply peace to this? Or can I actually see my brother as holy today? That's why it's so important to do this surrounding work, like the text and the manual for teachers, to get some confidence up. So that when you take this journey in the workbook where you spend a whole year plodding through, at least a year, but you just do one lesson at a time, you'll actually have enough courage. I said courage. Courage.
Not the opposite.
To try it. What?
Courage.
Courage. To try it. It's only by actually doing this, what might be silly or impossible or it can never work for me, by actually trying it on for size, you can discover the power of these lessons, of this work. Your ego will keep you insulated in fear and guilt. You have to be able to have courage to step outside of its defenses, to get out of its prison. To know that it works. So let's just look at the challenge we're up against a little bit. So our word today is prison. And meditation is just, it's the prison of your mind, right? That's what we're talking about. Just pick something, some aspect of a prison that makes it work, that has to have to be a good prison. That's all. So what's an aspect of a prison that makes it work?
Makes it work.
Makes a good prison.
Makes a good prison.
Anything.
I guess the ego makes a good prison.
Give me an example of a real brick and mortar prison in the world. What's an aspect of a prison in the world that
they have? Yeah, locked up, submitted in. Can't get out.
You can't.
You are trapped.
You're trapped.
Solitary confinement.
Yep.
You're trapped. So what makes a prison, the goal of prison, is to trap things inside. Yep. And no matter where you go, you're trapped. If you try to go up, they're watching for you. You try to go down, they've seen that. The doors are locked. The gates, if you get through one, there's a second one. It's locked. And it's guarded with a gun. It's trapped. You're trapped. In the world that you believe in, were you to try to leave the world physically, there are barriers. It'd still be you. You would have these instant barriers. And find that you are trapped.
The issue with walls, though, is they work both ways. So other things can't get in.
Oh!
And, if you think about prison, like love, comfort.
Yeah.
Even just getting mail in and things like that. But then also spiritually, right? Like if we think
contact with the outside.
Yeah, and not just... and then if we translate that to the spiritual, right? Like the Course says that if you are essentially not listening,
yes.
The communication's blocked, right? So
yes.
Walls are both ways.
Very good. Excellent. Yes. Good. Nice. Lisa, What's an aspect of a prison?
It's always very confining.
It has a little place. The prison's bad enough with these walls and no mail and you can't... Well, but it's got a little... At the bottom,
the
deep, dark, the hold. It's got a solitary confinement room. So that if you're really bad, in the terms of prison bad, there's a place for you to go that's dark, completely no mail. I mean, it's really solitary, just you and your depressed, quiet, little, personal prison cell. Does that exist in the world? Have you been in solitary confinement in your own life? Mm-hmm. Something has happened to you where you've squirreled yourself off away from everybody else. Yeah, solitary confinement. Bridget, what's an aspect of a prison?
I guess what just came to me was being with other people in the prison. Your inmates.
There's other people in there that do the same thing you. They think the same way and do the same thing that you do. So it's kind of okay. I mean, at least, you know, you're not alone.
Well, maybe worse. Maybe.
Maybe they're worse than you.
Maybe they're worse.
Maybe you don't belong there. And they're proof that you're not that bad anyway.
At least I didn't do that.
Right? Sure.
Helps you rationalize it, sort of. It's like, wow.
It kind of gives a lot of flavor to the prison because there's others in there.
Keeps you separate, too. You know? The judgment.
You're special.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're special even inside that. And you didn't do what they did. And
you know, on the other
but you're
hand,
tougher than also, the other one.
On the other hand, it also makes you feel like, well, what you did was normal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In other words, makes you feel like, okay, well, I've got lots of people to keep me company. I must be normal.
Yes.
It must be okay for me to have done what I did because look at all the other people who did it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you know there are people trying to get into prison. You aware of that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. My son is a deputy sheriff, and he says every winter people do things to get in prison so they can stay there over the winter.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Working it. Well, there's that aspect. There are people who get the right tattoo preparing for prison.
Yeah.
There was a show on this on HBO or something. I forget. But anyway, there's those gurus in the gangster world, the real tough guys, you know, who run things, and they've been caught and they're in prison. And if you want to be in their presence, you need to go in prison. And so you get dressed with the proper tattoos that show that you're one of his people. And then you've made it, and you go in there and you get some respect from the boss.
I read today about prison consultants that you hire to help you get ready to go to prison.
Wow!
Oh, yeah.
Remember that movie?
What?
With the schools where the elementary schools were like they were basically figuring like low income families. I think it was in Philadelphia or something. And, I mean, it's all over the world. It's a true story.
Mm-hmm.
They basically look at those and then they build prisons according to the elementary school students. So they have them pinned when they're like,
preparing,
in the garden.
Preparing for the crowd.
Yeah.
You're kind of a prison consultant, Andrew.
I am. I am.
I get that.
There's a spiritual teacher who he's written two or three books now. And I just heard a podcast where they interviewed this guy. And he could visit, Gangaji visited his prison. And he felt she got through to him. But until that point, and I think even after that point, but he would be in prison, 17 years old, three, four years. He'd come out of prison and go back in prison. Be out for a year or two. Go back in prison, and so forth. And the interviewer said, did you kind of get the pattern that you're going to, if you break the law, you go back in? He says, you don't get it. He says, it's what I do. It's what this, now he talks to himself, this body. He's this body, and he was very frank, and he said, honestly, he said, when you need something, you establish an income. And then you're good. If you got your bills covered, you're good. He says, that's the way I covered my bills. I didn't know how to do anything else, but I knew I could steal. And then I could afford, and it'd work. Everything would work for a while. I knew it. He says, the first thing, and he was, and it would work. And then since he'd been to prison 3 or 4 times already, it wasn't that bad.
He's used to it.
He knew how to work that. And that was his normality. It was normal for him.
Yeah. I had a friend who lived in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and she said she knew that mafias, I mean gangs, would do crimes, and the newest members would say they were the ones that were guilty until they'd done the prison time enough times that they were going to really get in trouble. Then the next newest ones would pay guilty. So that the ones who've been there a long time who were really guilty never got to, like, had to go to prison.
Yeah, that's right. That explains the statistic I read that there are... what is it when you claim that you did the crime?
Confessions.
Confessions were overturned by DNA evidence. They went in and took the person out, says, you didn't do this.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why you said you did. That explains it. Yeah, I just read that yesterday. Okay, so look at this dynamic. Look at this dynamic.
There's a whole society.
There are reasons, right? People are thinking. The thought pattern is that it's better inside even.
Yeah.
Than out. Okay? Yeah. So very interesting, yeah. So, Zoe, what's an aspect of a... Did we get Bridget?
Yeah.
It was an aspect of a prison, Zoe, that makes it work? Anything.
Oh, I came up with a lot of words, but I'm trying to pick the one. I thought of isolation or separation.
Separate off, yeah. So important. And that's essentially what the whole thing's about. Mm-hmm. Is that there's inside and outside, and they're different. And they don't mix freely. Mm-hmm. Separate off. So, when you belong to the separated off culture, it becomes home. Whether you like it or not, it becomes comfortable, and an identity gets formed. If you're on the outside, same thing. I'm not a prisoner, I've never been to jail, I don't belong there, and I plan on staying on the outside of all of our prison cells. That's my goal. Identity there. Yeah. Good. Good. Yeah. And something unnatural would happen for somebody who belongs on the inside to suddenly be outside. Because it's separate, right? Prisoner's a prisoner, free person, free person. Yeah. That's part of what prison's all about. And your thought system of the ego, of course, is the prison we're talking about. In that it needs you to be an inmate and play by its rules.
Any, not a nowty.
Yeah, right, huh? Yeah, that's right. Be an innie, yeah.
Oh, getting lost there.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm trapped here.
Yeah.
I think the aspect of it that's scary is if you're in prison long enough, you don't know what outside is like.
Mm-hmm.
And you come outside and you're scared of it.
Scared of it. In fact, outside is cruel. At least you get three squares on a cot.
Yeah, but I was thinking that in terms of... I was thinking of that in terms
three
of...
Three hots and a cot.
I was thinking in terms of... if I'm living by my ego, eventually I don't know anything but the ego.
There it is.
I have to struggle to find out that there's something outside of the ego that I could live by instead.
Yeah. Yes, that's the new normal. Good. Yeah. Do you have another one you want to share?
Yeah, well, that one was... Well, mine relates to that. Just my word was limited. And limited space, amenities, freedom, access, and so on and so forth. But also, like, related to that, it's like your worldview becomes... Your space becomes very small. Your experiences become very small.
Yes.
So you've given the example even of you're sitting here holding the prison bars,
yeah.
And you, like, this is what you see as the prison bars, but if you actually look at that, you're just holding bars and there's nothing. else, right?
Yes.
So that's like kind of came up for me.
Perfect.
And you've shared it before.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So you're limited. You're living the limit that you believe. Mm-hmm. And if it's a really good prison, just try the walls. You don't have to believe much. You're going to run into these limits constantly. And that's the power of your belief. Mm-hmm. We're here to bust that. But you have to, you'd have to know that what you believe to be true is not true in order to break the prison of the ego.
And that's what Gangaji did for that young man.
That's what she did. She brought some light into his darkness. Yeah. And he says, maybe I don't have this all right. That's right. Yeah, good. Kenny, what's an aspect of a prison?
Well, when you get out of the drunk tank in the morning, you go see the judge and you say, no contest, pay the fee and you're out.
Ah.
No contest.
No contest, it can be gamed.
Forgiveness.
Yeah.
Pay the fee.
So you've got a game, you've got a way. You've got a way to, there's a way to avoid actually being seen for long. Inside. When you belong inside and you know it. Mm-hmm. So there's carrying the prison with you, but pretending to be on the outside. Hmm. Pleaded no contest, and they said, well, we'll take your money as the punishment instead of your body.
So to say goodbye to those stories, you gotta say no contest.
You gotta not fight them.
Forgiveness.
Don't fight them.
Don't
fight. Let the forgiveness loose everything.
All right. All those folks that you were with, yeah. All those stories in my brain.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Now you could be free of the prison.
Yeah.
By simply letting it go. Mm-hmm. And not considering your being right. You'd rather be happy, pay the money, let the forgiveness go both ways. Mm. Sure. That works with this system. Mary, what's an aspect of a prison?
Well, the word that comes to me is stuck.
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 Stuck. Yep. Yep. Can't change much. It is what it is.
So I hate that.
You got 16 more years or whatever on your sentence.
Oh, way more than that.
Oh, 30 more years. Oh. Wait, 420? How many lifetimes do you think you're going to live? Of course, that's 1,000 years you can save. Yeah.
That's motivation.
Yeah, yeah. It's motivating.
420 lifetimes, Andrew.
Is
that all? I
thought it's going to
take me a lot longer than that.
Stuck. Yeah. And then if you end up staying within the prison system, indeed you're stuck. And you should be, because the walls are going to work. Solitary confinement to pipe you down a little bit if you get too boisterous. I mean, there's ways. It's designed to keep you in. You bet. Ego's thought system is designed to keep you in. And it will not fail you. Course in Miracles says it is as strong as the Holy Spirit.
Here I was counting on the Holy Spirit to get me out of it.
They are each the Holy. There's only two. There's only outside inside. There's only Holy Spirit and ego. It's the only possibilities here. Or hate and love. It's all the same discussion. Only two. Each is as strong in its ability to hold you in its thought system as the other. Oh! Can't you just be saved by love? Can't love just overwhelmingly just be so true and powerful and just fix everything? Not the way it works.
If it's love, it probably can.
Love of powers, love of power.
Oh,
the
man.
Power of love, so overcome by the Love of power.
Oh.
Whatever it is.
If you're trusting on love, remember to duck for the 2x4.
Right.
You'll do better. Right?
Cool. Question, though.
Yeah.
Because something's plaguing my mind here. Because also something that came in the meditation was loss of control.
Yes.
But I actually feel like one of the things... So you lose control in prison, but in my ego mind, I have fear of losing control by choosing spirit.
Yes.
So it's like that. I guess it's something. It's something that both I don't know how to say this. Loss of control in prison could potentially lead to a good thing if you surrender to some higher power or whatever, but here it's like the loss of control is actually the fear that keeps me from surrender.
Very honest. So I actually perceive
that as a little bit of a conflict.
It is. Yes.
Because my freedom is in losing control, but it doesn't feel like that.
It doesn't feel like that because you've got 3 hots and a cot and a number and a home. Inside the prison. And the outside can be very cruel compared to that. And yet the outside is infinite and freedom and all these things.
So it's just the perception, in ego terms, it's just the perception that I'm even in control.
It's a misperception. It's a false perception of comfort.
Okay.
It's actually a struggling in hell every day.
It's like a fortress. Like the ego is like a fortress.
It's a fortress that's designed to keep you in.
Yeah.
And you are mistaken about the pleasures. Yes?
So, that's interesting, Julie, because I've been thinking about it this whole time. I listened to this talk by David Hoffmeister this week where he got a letter from a man who was in prison and, this man had hours and hours and hours every day and nothing to do, and he came upon the course and just studied 10 hours a day and just became so evolved and enlightened because he didn't have, there was nothing else, maybe I'll go to the store and go meet a friend at a restaurant and have this delicious food, or maybe I'll go
pick up an after shift
go on a date,
wash my car,
totally had nothing else to do. And so when he found this book, he just completely immersed himself, and he wrote this letter to David Hoffmeister, which he read, and it was amazing. And he was he literally just made so much progress so fast, and he's like, I don't even care about going home anymore, lowercase home. He's like, all I care about is going home,
mm-hmm.
uppercase mm-hmm. home. And he was like, are all these people just perceptions and aspects of me? I mean, it was pretty amazing. And I just realized, if you really spent so much time and put away all these other distractions, but... we like our lives, right?
Yeah, so it's something outside that can catch us up.
All this stuff we like to wash our car and go on a date and go to a restaurant, but that stuff's kind of pulling us away from going home, whereas if someone can be in a distractionless environment where they don't have any choice...
Yes. Yes. Okay, let's start right there. We're going to switch analogy up a little bit because you brought it up. Where you have no choice. Distractionless environment where you have no choice. Does that remind you of meditation at all?
Yeah.
A good deep meditation. A distractionless environment where you have no choice. You'll not be washing the car, or reading the news, or anything else. You're in a deep meditation of stillness. There's more freedom there you'll ever find in the world. Mm-hmm. We're flipping the analogy on its head here. Mm-hmm. Same for this guy, Gangaji, and he was able to then read all sorts of books and focus himself on some much better thoughts. And he fell in love with the idea of being free on the inside. Mm. That's what got him. And now he's turning his life over. He goes to prisons. That's all he does, is go to prisons and try to give them books to read. And he tries to tell them what happened to him. Inciting. So let's try and get that spark going. Yeah. Yeah. Carol, what's an aspect of a prison?
Well, I was thinking of, Julie was talking about limited, but I was thinking more of real lack of choice. Like, you can't be hungry when you're hungry. You have to be hungry when you're fed. Mm-hmm. You can't, I mean, it's such an extreme way of not having choice.
Yes. Such an extreme way of not having choice. Very good.
You want to go outside? No, you can go outside from 3 to 4.
Yes.
You know, it's...
Yes.
It's numbing to just think about the whole...
And the only way to be at peace is to be okay with going outside only from 3 to 4, rain or shine.
Have the Viktor Frankl kind of mentality.
Yes. Yeah. Limit. Accepting the limit. And you have done this already. All of you in your bodies, this deep belief of staying in a body and trying to make it happy, and then try not to get sick, but then getting through the sickness that you know is coming, just so that you can die on your own terms. Is that your plan, Bunky? Gotta be a better way. And yet that's the standard belief. So you've already done it. You're already there. Set. Limit set. The things are set. The script is written for how the body will treat you and how you will live. Wow! But it's what we're talking about, you see. It's very important that when A Course in Miracles, and when whatever time you run through A Course in Miracles and you have some kind of illness going on, you'll see it all over the book. Sickness, healing. And we're talking about the healing of your mind and how you see things. Not necessarily making the body any better. This is a spiritual meaning.
Loving what is, then.
But then you will love what is. And you will awaken to love.
Yeah.
And you will find a freedom. Yeah. Louie, what's an aspect of a prison?
Well, I think most of it's been said. I guess I have two stories about it, but may not be an appropriate time for
stories. Yeah, just pick a piece. Just pick a piece of a prison that has to be there to make it work.
I had a dream one time, and I was looking down on a prison. So the roof was off, and there was rows and doors, walls around. And I was the only one in it. And in the front of it was a whole bunch of places where you could get cokes and chips and all that crap. And all the doors were open, so I could go and do this whenever I wanted, and I thought, okay, this is rather peaceful. Well, way over on the other side, the door opened to the outside of the prison, and this man, really strong looking man, was being controlled by a couple of guards, saying, and he was fighting like mad, and he got put in a thing, and the door got slammed, it was locked. So I was going to, somebody's talked about doors, I was going to say lack of freedom, mm-hmm. basically. Mm-hmm. You couldn't get out because the door is locked. Mm-hmm. But so I was looking at him thinking, you know, he could have been just as free as I am if he just hadn't fought so hard. Mm-hmm. And then I woke up, and it wasn't until noon that day that I said, but wait a minute. Why aren't I fighting for freedom instead of just accepting prison?
Mm-hmm.
So it was... So, and then tonight, I went in, and I always ask, the Holy Spirit feels like he comes from inside me rather than... Anyway, I asked, is there anything else about that dream that I could learn about prison? And he said, fighting isn't going to get you out of prison. The only thing that's going to get you out of prison is staying peaceful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that was another lesson.
Yeah, the way out is in. To be free from the prison of your mind, it is in. And finding the jailer the one who decides your prison sentence and that you belong there. This is your way out, is to go in and discover what's holding you in is your own thoughts, your beliefs, what you've already decided is accepted is true.
I found another way. I was thinking today, I have a problem, and I said, I need to call Andrew. So I think another way of finding a way out is calling Andrew.
Oh, yeah. Dial a prayer.
I still need to talk to you about it.
All right. Cecily?
I was going to say guards.
Guards. Individuals whose job it is to keep you inside. They know the rule. You stray and they put you right back in your place. Maybe even all the way to solitary confinement. You can divorce you or something and really get you sad.
And it's immediate.
You know what solitary confinement feels like. And the guards have the ability to put you there. Of Course in Miracles calls them shadow figures. People in your dream. Your prison is your dream of the world, right? People in your dream who represent to you the evils of the world. They're proof that you're threatened. Your daughter or your granddaughter gives you a snide look after you said something. Oh!
That's part of my problem.
Oh! That cuts to the bone! Well, she just puts you in your place. That's a shadow figure that has power over you. Guards.
You know that's what I wanted to talk to you about.
Jeff, what's an aspect of a prison?
Cecily stole mine.
Oh, yes, guards.
You moved over and let her sit next to me.
I think you're looking at my book. It's cool. It's good. It's a great analogy, prison all the way around. And mine was just a little bit bigger, different, but the enablers. The cops, the courts, the guards, the whole infrastructure that you've rigged up for yourself that draw the lines and paint the box and basically you've set this up in your head to go with the prison analogy. You know, it's this whole infrastructure of
that
need you. They don't exist without you.
Yes.
It's kind of like you both support each other.
Okay, so we're going to call that guilt.
Okay.
The police officers, the court system, the laws and the rules are all established to make guilty if you're going in. You're going in. If you're inside and you continue to be guilty, you're going way in.
Because even though they say you're innocent until proven guilty, you're guilty until proven innocent.
Well, as soon as somebody says they saw you do it. So guilt is that this is like the whole infrastructure of the world is based on guilt, according to this.
And I think guilt's a little bit trickier than it appears sometimes, because, you know, like on the surface, I would say I don't personally feel guilty about much of anything.
Yeah.
Yet.
Live a good life.
Definitely in prison.
But you're definitely in prison.
So, something don't line up there.
That's it. Yeah. And what this book says is true. You're in a prison of your own mind. So you believe those guards are in place and that you belong here. Very good. We're going to bust that. We're here to bust that. We're here to see you staring through your bars and have you just take a look back a little bit and see that the bars aren't connected to anything. Hey! That's what we discover. We'll read a little bit about that in a minute after we ask Dawn. What's an aspect of it?
Oh my god! But like, I would just say trapped, and like the first thing that comes to my mind is just life being, you know, an alcoholic and being trapped in addiction. Like,
yes,
the same thing every day, the same. You're in your body, you're outside, but you're really stuck. You're like your prison is that bottle.
Same thing every day.
Mm-hmm. And that's what prison. I thought of prison is like doing the same thing, eating the same time. And, like,
yes.
That's how I kind of feel in life right now, the way my life is, but it's a lot better.
Yeah.
It's safer, but it's like a safe thing, like school, work.
Uh-huh.
It's like I'm in this to me. And some days I'm like, I feel like I'm in prison.
In prison.
But it's a beautiful prison now.
Yeah, it's looking good. Congratulations.
You're out of solitary confinement. Yeah. Look at the size of this.
I've been in solitary confinement for many, many years. So it's beautiful to be out.
Yeah. Good.
And I have this story. I actually listened to a podcast the other day for class, and it was about this guy who was 12 years old. He put this man into jail. They used him, and the guy went away for, I forget, it was like 31 years, and they forgave each other. Mm-hmm. And then you hear the 12-year-old, you know, he wasn't in prison, but he was a prisoner.
Yeah.
Of his own mind, and I had to write about it, and I was like, well, they were both prisoners. One guy was in prison, mm-hmm. but he was actually freer than the guy who was living with all that guilt and that,
oh, yeah.
and that anxiety and his addiction because of what he did when he was young and all that. And
yeah, like, wow, no matter where, you can't let him out of prison. If your own thoughts are imprisoning you, who could let you out? There's no place to go. And that's, of course, is talking about with our ego. It's your own personal, private hell.
So that's a good definition of prison. Myself.
Yeah, indeed.
I was reading that section that's deep in the book about, I don't know, it's not exactly starting over, but to start the day with, yeah. How do I want this day to be?
Yes.
And it was so powerful. It's kind of the opposite of what we're talking about here. Just
yes.
exactly the opposite.
Yes, well, that's what we're going to talk about now. It's
really
getting out of
powerful.
Prison. It's how to get, Course in Miracles is that practical to get you out of your personal prison. Very good, Carol.
I just want to add to that because like it sounds great. That sounds like, you know, Marianne Wood, you know, self-help stuff and all. But I keep thinking in my own head, like, it's my expectations. So it's like, you say, how do I want my day to go?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then you're laying down expectations.
Yeah.
And it seems to me like those expectations kind of are the source of the guilt or the source of our attempt to control our world.
Yeah. Well, it's chapter 30, and you might have some fun looking over those couple of pages. Because although it does ask you to set how you'd like your day to go, it doesn't ask you, should you wash the car before you go to Costco? That's not what it's talking about. Right. It's how would you like the day to occur? How would you like to feel about your day? And it sort of backs you up away from the specifics into do you want peace or not. It's called Choose Again, the title of the section. And it allows you to get away from the sordid details and go up a level and say, well, I'd just kind of like to be happy no matter what happens. I'd like to have some happiness in my day. That's what you're led to. Of course you want to be happy. Of course you want to be peaceful. And the next thing it asks you is, you know, if you actually do this and take a moment to choose that you really would like to be happy, the next thing it says, well, you've actually forgotten what it was you were worried about. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I could be happy anyway. Yeah, that's a wonderful section. Very practical. If the shit hits the fan, then you should go there. Yes.
Well, I just had a thought that I never had before, which is that I've gotten myself in this prison, but if I really release it, I might be vulnerable to being hurt again, as I was the first time they put me in.
Daddy girl, excellent, honest, perfect question. And what Julie's talking about is a little bit of fear of getting away from this whole support structure of fear and defense, and trying to avoid attack or attacking first. If it, you bet, all this comfort of this. So, in order for you to follow Course in Miracles and get out of the prison that you're being held in, you'd end up actually identifying with page 1. Whatever happens within the 1,300 pages, 2, 3, 4 times you might go through it before you, or whatever workbook lesson where you get this epiphany that you actually can be free.
I read chapter 1 over and over and over.
Oh, careful with that.
Why?
You want teacher Zoe?
No.
Chapter 1 is a metaphysical discussion of time and space. And Jesus says, I think I better hit some more basics before we go on this vector. And he kind of, it's a pretty heady. Yeah, you should keep going. Come back later and read chapters, the first 5 chapters. You just run through them. And then come back later. Don't try to figure them all out. It's very dense. There's multiple levels of teaching.
Well, they bring up what I need to release.
Okay, then you're
in the right place. I can just cry my eyes out and
nice.
Well,
nice.
Feel better.
What page is chapter one on?
A number of pages.
It starts on page one, actually. It's got the miracle princess.
Oh, that's too easy.
Yeah, yeah, but page one is about 40 pages in. So it wasn't that easy. So, when you do what A Course is Talking About for your freedom from the ego, you end up spending a little time with what it says on the very first page. It says, nothing real can be threatened, and nothing unreal exists. And herein lies a piece of God. So what that means, were you to actually have the awakening that this delivers, there's nothing about you that can be threatened. Right? That's peaceful. You can't be hurt. If you... in an awakened state now, if you were to be put in a hurtful situation, anybody here ready for this? What would happen to her? What would happen in that situation were she to be actually past the Course in Miracles?
She wouldn't even see it as hurtful.
What would happen in a hurtful situation? That's true for her personally. What would happen if Mary, after having done a Course in Miracles and actually had those awakenings that you've had and kept them all and really done, and now she's in what the world says is a hurtful situation, what would happen in that situation as Mary now was speaking for A Course in Miracles? If Mary had become a voice for A Course in Miracles,
she'd heal it or transform it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. She would heal it.
With love, call for love.
Bingo! She would see a call for love and she would bring love. That's what would happen in this terrible situation before A Course would rip you off and put you in the dark hole. That, what do you call it?
Solitary
confinement. The hole. That situation.
So I wouldn't go straight to victimhood. Right?
You would not go straight to victimhood because you would be free. In fact, time to read it again? Why not? Turn to page 552.
Oh,
and let's just read what would happen to Mary. 562. And we'll read what would happen to Mary in this horrible situation. Horrible.
Wow.
Paragraph 6.
Oh, that sentence.
That sentence.
Yeah, the one that's underlined.
Look at paragraph 6. Mary, would you read for us?
Oh, am I in the wrong place? I don't see a paragraph 6 until we get to the 562.
You might have a different version of the book.
What do you have there?
You must.
The holiest.
Are her paragraph not numbered?
It is.
It's not.
Well, she's in a different chapter on 562, so it's a problem.
It's up at almost at the top. The second line is number 6.
Second line is number 6.
Thank you. Right up here.
Course in Miracles?
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Pull up a pillow.
Pull up a taillight?
Pull up a taillight. Pull up a pillow. Anywhere you want to sit, you're welcome.
Thank you.
The holiest.
Julie, will you slide him a book?
Mm-hmm. Here, take this one.
Oh, the one.
Yes, that was very nice.
I'm such a nice person.
You are such a nice person.
Most days.
What's your name?
Michael.
Hey, Michael.
Hi.
I'm Andrew.
Hi, Andrew.
There's a whole bunch of people with different names.
Yeah, I know.
Welcome. We're on page 562 of the text. Do you know anything about A Course in Miracles?
Yes, I do.
Awesome.
A little bit.
Okay, good enough then. In the first part, 562. What would happen to Mary if she carefully guarded herself from being hurt in the world, and then she went about with this Course in Miracles business, And she stopped defending herself because she started to feel free. And love filled her freaking heart. And it stuffed up into her mind. And love filled her mind. And then a horrible situation showed up in the world like it normally does. Well, Mary, would you read for us 562, paragraph 6?
The holiest of all the spots on earth is where an ancient hatred has become a present love.
Okay, that's what it's good for now. Before course, ancient hatred means hurt.
It goes on forever.
Goes on forever. Hurts, and then you suffer from the pain that was caused. And that's normal. Pain, and then suffering. And then repeat. That's the world. With your awakening, you are now empowered to have these situations translated. The same situations, and I stress this because everybody here is going to live through some more crap. So the same situations will still happen in your life, but you see them differently. They are translated for you by what we call the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's just a part of your mind, still connected to the truth that you can hear. So please start again.
The holiest of all the spots on earth is where an ancient hatred has become a present love. And they come quickly to the living temple where a home for them has been set up.
Now we're jumping in midsection here because of time. We're just picking up this paragraph. But the they and the them that you're reading here, these are awakened perspective. This is God in the face of Christ, which is just code for the truth and you able to see the truth. Christ is just you awake. And God is simply what is, that's all. But it's that's what the them is from paragraphs earlier.
Them is Christ?
Is God in the face of Christ.
Them is God in the face of Christ.
Yes. If you went back two or three paragraphs, you'd see that. So I'm just allowing you to jump through it. Go ahead, Mary.
There is no place in heaven holier. And they have come to dwell within the temple offered them.
See, now they, in this situation, we're going to short circuit that. Your corrected perception. Let's call it that. Yeah. The corrected perception comes now to this mind that's been healed with its perspective. So the same stinking thing that would have really made you upset now is your chance to experience a love, the deepest, holiest place on earth, is now given to you from the crap. You see, that's what happened to you.
Someone over here said, if I felt someone that I perceived as dangerous was approaching me, I could see them as a person in need of help rather than as the person that's going to abuse me.
That yeah.
Came out over here somewhere. It was really.
But like I said, if your heart and your mind are filled with love, but you're still in the world, just be prepared to run. I mean, really. Okay.
I'm only laughing.
You don't want to mix the levels. That's another thing we have to work through with our work here. And this room is a great place to do it. But it's getting an idea of what the course calls level confusion. Level confusion. See, there's only two levels. Thank goodness. This is Miracle Principle 12, right? One is physical, and thoughts of that level make the physical. That's one level. That's the world we live in. Bodies, time, space, hunger, guilt, fear. The other level is spiritual. And those spots, those thoughts, create. Watch the use of those words. Make is temporary. Create is permanent. Make is of the physical. Create is of the eternal. So we really have two very distinct levels that A Course in Miracles helps open up in your mind. Yeah.
If it's eternal, wouldn't it already be created, though?
Yeah.
So you don't really create anything new. We just experience what's already been created.
Yes. We awaken to what already is.
Yeah.
And find it as eternal. Fully supported.
That's actually kind of a relief, because then it's not like we have to create what would be good or know what would be good to create. It's like already there.
There's a bonus here too for you, Cecily. That in truth, as a creator, which you actually are, you extend the truth in your right mind. You create in your right mind. You can't create here. The Course says there is no creation here. This is a dream. It's a perfect limit. This. But in your true nature, you are that. You are the extension of God, and you will continue. But you're not making anything new, so to speak. You're extending what is without fear and without loss. It's a whole different way of being. There's a beautiful paragraph in here we probably won't get to tonight, but it really lays on how wonderful is these thoughts that you think with heaven, the peace and the awakening brings. But that's right. That's essential. It's already complete. There's no stress there. Yeah. Okay, let's continue.
And they have come to dwell within the temple offered them to be their resting place, as well as yours. What hatred has released to love becomes the brightest light in heaven's radiance. Oh, now I'm going to cry.
What?
What is going on, Mary?
That's what it is. That's laying it out right there. It is waiting behind the hatred. This is where your freedom is. This is where the most pressure is being applied, is where the most love is waiting. The miracle stands in shining silence behind every difficulty you have. That's what a miracle is. No problem, no miracle. You got a problem? There's the miracle waiting. That hatred is showing you the other side of a very powerful, heavy coin that is love. The less love, the more love is blocked, the more hatred you shall feel. It's a factor of love. There's no hatred. What is hatred? What is that? No. There's no such thing as fear. The Course says, page 217, the Course says, it says, fear is a call for love. In unconscious recognition that love's been denied. That's what fear is. There's no fear. What there is a wish I was feeling love right now. I feel so far from love, I'm going to break into your window and take your purse so I can get some drugs and feel a little more comfortable. That's the translation of what's going on. There's no fear. There's no attack.
So my question then for my situation is, I've been feeling fear about handling something my granddaughter is giving me to handle.
Okay, so you've made a prison.
I've made a prison. And
it's got limits. It can be done right. It can be done wrong. And if you do it wrong, you go to the hole.
That's exactly what I'm afraid I'm going to do.
No, you can concentrate in the hole. Except you're not allowed books in the hole. It's so the hole is our analogy for being so depressed that you can't even get out of bed. In the ego prison we're talking about in our analogy. Solitary confinement, it's that space.
So I'm stuck because I don't know how to handle the situation without feeling like I'm going to not be able to love.
Yeah.
And yet on the other hand, there's that worldly part of me that says, I don't think I deserve to be have this happen over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. So what the hell should I do?
Yeah, it's time to stay. Yeah, go ahead, Chesley.
So I wanted to share this, and I think it relates to what you're going through. So what brought me to this class was my teenage daughter and all the struggles I have had with her. And I've really come to realize the all this work that I've done, it's interesting, is that it hasn't changed her. Like, she's still all the difficult things that she is, but my perspective on it is slowly shifting in that, you know, for right or wrong, like, I see her as such a gift because she was the catalyst to get me here and get me into this book. And every time she's difficult, it prompts me to go back to this book. So, like, every day throughout the day, I have multiple, like, prompts to go inside and go to this book. And of course, like, I hoped that my spiritual work would shift something and shift her, and it has not been so. But it was interesting because the other morning, she got really mad, and this sort of thing she'll do, because I made coffee and I didn't make her some. And she didn't ask me to, or like anything, but she was being really rude and disrespectful. And I was thinking to myself, I'm like, God, I do all these things for her all the time, and she doesn't do anything for me. And then I thought about it, like, after she left for school, I'm like, actually, she does. Because I was so upset, I went to my book and to my meditation. But it's different levels, right? What she's doing for me is on this spiritual level, and what I'm doing for her is on the physical level.
Yeah.
And I want to see her do for me on the physical level, but I have to, like, constantly go back and remember that she's doing for me on the spiritual level.
Yeah. So, thank you very much.
Because that's what is. That's what's there. That's what you have.
That's what you have.
All I have.
And there's evidence that you've just displayed for us, or Luann, that you can trust with a little bit of help from your friend, which is the Holy Spirit. You can trust as a circumstance can be used. And she's making you. You're going in there. You're using it. And it has far-reaching implications that perhaps nothing else I know of could have brought you the kind of healing that has happened in your mind that you have shared with us several times now. I don't know of anything else as focused as this book and its practices that could free you from this insidious ego.
Well, what eventually I was about to call you, like I said, and then I thought, well, the only thing I can do is ask the Holy Spirit how to handle this. Mm-hmm. And I'm having company, and I said, I want to use your bedroom, so please don't be here tomorrow night. Her bedroom is a holy mess, mm-hmm. and I doubt that she's going to get it done before my company shows up tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went in, I was thinking, if I say to her, once again, you are not doing something I've asked you to do, and you said you would if I let you come and live here for free, etc. I don't want to say that. Mm-hmm. That won't work. The Holy Spirit said, clean up the mess and let it go and just love her.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, okay, that feels peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of fighting it, I'm just going to do it.
Step back, go quiet, and follow the peace.
Yeah.
In all things in this world. Let me ask you a question, and this is personal, okay? It's a short question, but take a minute and just answer honestly for yourself. Really, really now, would you rather be right, or absolutely would you rather be happy? Careful with this. Ego says, well, if I'm right, then I am happy. That's not what I asked you. You got a choice to make. Which is more appealing, being happy or being right? Ego's got you with one, and eternity has you with the other. It's very good to take this into meditation one day and ask this simple question. If follow the happiness, follow the peace. No matter what it looks like, try it. Holy Spirit's got your back.
I got a current little example of that.
All right.
So I've been searching for this boat for a year and a half. Mm. And I've been telling everybody, I've been putting ads out, I've been putting flyers up, marinas all around the state. I was convinced that I needed this boat. It was a very specific boat. It only made a couple years. And I missed a couple of them. And that just like hardened my resolve that I needed this boat. And then one popped up last week in Phoenix. Yeah. And I said, I'll be right there. Mm-hmm. And then my car had all these problems. But I just threw money at the car and I got the car ready to go. But I was feeling super anxious and super disturbed and couldn't really put my finger on it. I felt like, oh, you know, I knew I had problems. Where am I going to park it? You know, all these things. But I'm going to overcome all of those because it's here. Mm-hmm. I had gotten so attached to the pursuit of the thought of the adventure of the. I hadn't really put in. And it's a chance meeting at an event, talking to this fellow, just triggered my mind, and then I realized by looking at the situation that I was feeling anxious, like going for the feeling, I was like checking the water of the feeling, the temperature, and the feeling was wrong, and I started looking at it a little more deeply and realized that it may be the right boat, but it's the wrong time.
Yeah, nice.
And I let it go.
It's very much like approaching a drug. Short-term thinking, you would get a buzz, a bite, a gift. Mm-hmm. But just look at it a little bit longer, and all the costs for that hit start to show up, and maybe you won't take it this time. Very good. Very good. Yes.
And it was ego involved because everybody's like, oh, you finally found your boat. When are we going out? Yeah. My ego was like, oh.
Gotta take the drug, take it.
He did the drug, man.
Well, the Yacht Harbor is full of boats. No one goes near.
Yeah, that's right. Nobody on it. Mary, are you still reading?
Want me to?
Did you finish your paragraph?
One more sentence. But I want to read that other
Read
sentence.
It again.
What hatred has released to love becomes the brightest light in heaven's radiance.
Yes.
And all the lights in heaven brighter grow in gratitude for what has been restored.
Ooh. This is what you're doing. This is where you go. This is what we will do with this world. Even the ugliest parts of it will be where another light in heaven is lit. For the holiest spot on earth is where this ancient hatred becomes a present love, thereby freed from ever being so ugly again. In fact, in its place with this translation is beauty. This is what it means to heal. We don't hide it away. We don't fix it. The hatred gives up and a love is found. But for that, you're going to need a miracle. We're talking about ugly, difficult things in this world that you really believe are ugly and difficult. But that's what A Course in Miracles is for. To be able to translate truly now the way you see things. It's the only way out. Because it'll follow you. If you don't have the miracle, and you just try to forgive and be peaceful and be such a good person your whole life and try to die in peace, if that's your plan, it's coming with you. Yeah. Oh, what? It's just so beautiful. Carol, would you read the next paragraph?
Around you, angels hover lovingly to keep away all darkened thoughts of sin and keep the light where it is entered in. Your footprints lighten up the world, for where you walk, forgiveness gladly goes with you. No one on earth but offers thanks to one who has restored his home and sheltered him from bitter winter and the freezing cold. And shall the Lord of Heaven and His Son give less in gratitude for so much more?
This is what it means to heal your mind. And the personal gratitude you feel. We're talking about replacing hatred. Which, until you have the miracle, hatred seems really valid and belongs there. The terrible things that they did. But that's because you're going by the laws of the world and the ego. This is the healed mind. They is where you're now exposed to the truth of what God is. And the face of Christ is everywhere. This is the healed mind. This is what it means. This is what salvation means. The only one that you want. Let's read this. Do that last paragraph too. Luann, you ready?
Now is the temple of the living God rebuilt as host, again to him by whom it was created.
That's your mind. The temple of the living God is your mind. The one that you've cordoned off into this little stinking ego. This is what we're talking about now as healed. Please continue.
Where he dwells, his son dwells with him, never separate. And they give thanks that they are welcome made at last. Where stood a cross stands now the risen Christ, and ancient scars are healed within his sight. An ancient miracle has come to bless and to replace an ancient enmity that came to kill. In gentle gratitude to God, the Father, and the Son, return to what is theirs and will forever be. Now is the Holy Spirit's purpose done. For they have come. For they have come at last.
And you've woken up to sanity again. Beautiful. Okay, let's go read tonight's paragraph, which is on...
430.
Page 431.
We take a whole night to read our one paragraph.
I know. But we're getting there.
Yes.
We're getting there, aren't we? Yeah.
Well, thank you for reading those pages, those paragraphs.
You're welcome.
Sorry, I'm having a moment that, okay, Catholic tradition, so this might not apply to others, but that just said that we're the Holy Trinity, we're the third piece, and that's just really striking to me. I don't know why that hasn't occurred to me, but yeah, I just want to say that.
It's a beautiful moment. That is correct.
What was it?
You are the mind of God. You, what you really are, is not a victim struggling, but you are the completion of God itself, in truth. And you get to be that. You get to be that as you awaken. You want to add to that?
Well, isn't that what Christ is? Is all of us together as the Son?
I'm just sitting.
Okay. Yes, Christ is the Son of God, extension of God, as God created it.
Mm-hmm. Not interesting. The word Catholic means unity. It means United Church, not actual.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Nice.
We had no idea.
But I know.
Having
spent years there, we never
ever catechism. They never told me that. Went through the catechism and the stand up and sit down and sing now. Now stop. Okay. But you know, I said I forget whether it's Father Keating or the other Catholic monk. And he's just awake, and he can speak. And I listen to that guy, and I reevaluate everything Catholic and see it as holy and unity speaking. I mean, it's just when with the right translation, it's beautiful speaking of oneness. The whole Catholicism is a big celebration of the Trinity, and this is another way to come back to God. Like, wow, I didn't see that when I was in it. And our own teacher. Okay, so I think we're up to Cecily. Would you read for us? Paragraph 9 on page 431 in the text.
Prisoners bound with heavy chains for years starved and emaciated, weak and exhausted, and with eyes so long cast down in darkness they remember not the light, do not leap up in joy the instant they are made free. It takes a while for them to understand what freedom is.
Mm-hmm.
You groped but feebly in the dust and found your brother's hand, uncertain whether to let it go or to take hold on life so long forgotten. Strengthen your hold and raise your eyes unto your strong companion in whom the meaning of your freedom lies. He seemed to be crucified beside you, and yet his holiness remained untouched and perfect. And with him beside you, you shall this day enter with him to paradise and know the peace of God.
That is the corrected mind that can see the difficult pieces in life now are only there to remind you of the holiness behind them. Not what your brother said. Not what your brother did that made him so difficult, but what your brother is in truth. This is what you wake up to. The hatred can be dropped now for the innocence that you now see. You would need a miracle, okay? Because we're talking about somebody who did something just terrible, nasty. But it's waiting for you. That is true. Look at workbook page 450. Yeah, we talked about this. You get some.
Towards the back of the book.
Oh yeah, flip another 500 pages to the right.
It's in a different section.
Yeah, yeah. There's like four books tied into one.
Oh, I see.
So.
What's it? Sorry. What was
IQ? 450.
Thanks.
Lesson 302 is where we're going.
I don't know why.
Hey, it's pretty close. You would have got her in there.
I have it on 450.
Not bad. Not bad. Yeah, fake news. Bust it when you can, folks. Gotta stop that stuff.
Fake news.
Oh, no. Jeff, are you up to it? Who's up to it?
Lesson 302.
Mm-hmm.
Where darkness was, I look upon the light. Further, our eyes are opening at last.
Your Father,
your holy world awaits us as our sight is finally.
Yeah, let's take a minute to look at that, just because Jeff's ego pointed it out for us. So we're going to take advantage of that. Look at that first word,
Father.
It's Father.
I said further.
Yeah, but that's all right. It's just an excuse for us to stop.
Let's start over.
Yeah, they're just words. The whole book is just words.
A little slower, I can understand it a little better.
Words,
my mind doesn't go that fast.
Words are just symbols. And all you heavily steeped Catholics heed well. They're just symbols here. We're going to use these symbols to point toward the truth. And in this book, Father is a recognition of Source, from which all things come. Your healed mind sees that. So please start over and continue.
Thank you. Father, our eyes are opening at last. Your holy world awaits us as our sight is finally restored and we can see. We thought we suffered, but we had forgot the Son whom you created. Now we seek the darkness in our own imagining, and light is there for us to look upon. Christ's vision changes darkness into light, for fear must disappear when love has come. Let me forgive your holy world today, that I may look upon its holiness and understand it, but reflects my own eyes.
Wow!
And it but reflects my own eyes.
Yeah, so here you are. You're well over 1,000 pages into this book, and you've done most of the lessons. And this is what we're working on. Something to look forward to if you haven't done the workbook in a while. Yeah. Please continue, Jeff. Same one. Go paragraph 2.
Our love awaits as we go with him and walks beside us, showing us the way. He fails in nothing. He the end we seek. and he must, and he the means by which we go to him.
So in that one sentence is all the information you need. He the end we seek, and the method by which we go to him. Very good circular. Okay, back to page 431 in the front of the book. And look how our prison analogy, the description of the ego, is being offered here as a choice. He says, and you know, this section we're reading is called Sin is an Adjustment. You know, you've adjusted to your prison. And to separate the laws and everything and the way to abide inside the prison, you've just figured out how to do it, and then you do it. And you've adjusted now to this situation where you find yourself. And we're asking you now to let go of all this belief. But the author recognizes that you're very used to being in a body or time and space, and you kind of know the rules to make things feel a little better. Prisoners bound with heavy chains for years, people living in bodies, time and space for years with a good education, and you just promise if you get a better job and more money, you'll be happier. Let's just call those chains for a minute, okay? Prisoners bound with heavy chains for years, starved and emaciated, weak and exhausted. Oh, three kids. Need I say more? And with eyes so long cast down in darkness, they remember not the light. So resigned that the world is just is the way it is. They don't leap up in joy the instant they're made free. You're going to hit workbook lessons. If you really do the workbook, you'll find a minute or two during the workbook lesson where you think, oh my God, I can be free now forever. Mm-hmm. It'll happen. 365 lessons, eventually you'll do one of them, right? Maybe more. And it's just a wonderful freedom. You will be given a holy instant handed to you. But do you jump up and keep it? Do you keep this freedom that you now know was your own thoughts that brought it to you? It wasn't the book. The book makes sure you know that. It's not the book. The book is just pointing out what you can do. And it's saying, try it, you'll like it. And then you try it, and you like it a lot. But you didn't jump right up and change your whole life to stay happy, did you? That's what it's talking about here. It says, 10 times 2, it takes a while for these so accustomed to the prison. It takes a while for them to understand what freedom is. It takes a while for you to understand what it even meant that you got over your fear of darkness. That you drove yourself up there to the darkest spot on campus and got out of the car. And just breathed easy and said, that's over.
It was actually 302. That was
the Oh, really?
It was 302.
That was 302? That, oh, man.
And I have it dated, too. It was, wow. It was almost 3 years ago.
Isn't that perfect? Huh? Wow. It takes a while to apply the power you were exposed to. The simple truth that was even experienced personally, to be able to allow that power now to be used elsewhere automatically. It takes a little while to trust it. Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't it kind of sometimes come as like a flash of insight and then where did that wonderful, it sort of.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sometimes that's right. Yeah. You groped but feebly in the dust and found your brother's hand, uncertain whether to let it go or to take hold on life so long forgotten. Strengthen your hold and raise your eyes unto your strong companion. And all we're talking about is this other, this idea of an other person. And in this section, and in a lot of the book, it's the problem person you're having trouble with. We want to see past their appearances and what they do and see what's invisible behind that to what they are. Because it's what you are. This is what's holding hands. Not physically in the world. You're not actually going to take your enemy's hand. That's not what we're talking about. This is in your mind now. But something happens in you. A shift occurs in you when you put the hatred down just to do this, even metaphorically. It's a big deal, these movements.
So it's at a different level then?
Yes.
So if you see something happening physically, you can then make that adjustment in your thoughts. I mean, so you see someone stealing a car, yes. You could do something, but you may prevent them, but it's the difference between whether you do it out of hate or whether it's a different frame of mind.
Exactly. Yes. Will you do that out of hate and fear? Or whether you keep your peace and do not add an attack to an attack? Yeah. You can be very, very peaceful when you put him in handcuffs and haul him off to jail. Put him in the hole. Let them think about it. Mm-hmm. This can be done without an attack. And if you've got young kids, you've already had to do it. The tough love thing. Even young, any teenager. You've had to put a few limits up here. Out of love. But they were sure as hell limits. But you knew it was loving.
I think the level thing is like, for me, I try to interpret like every situation that's difficult, like try to see like the other layer, you know, and,
yes.
And kind of, and it doesn't make the physical layer go away. It just, it's like trying to see both at the same time. It helps me look at the
yes.
physical manifestation a little bit differently.
So you don't get lost in the physical only.
Yeah.
You gotta show up to do the physical, but you take a few moments to have it translated and see a better perspective. And then your heart lightens up a little bit. And it's not as dark as it was. It's 302. Where it was
what's
dark.
302?
Where it was dark, look upon the
that
light.
That's we just had. When we went to.
Yeah.
There is darkness.
Where there is darkness, I look upon the light. It's a translation. But it really does. When you finally get there to where you're willing to just see with your mind instead of with your eyes, a little enlightenment happens. And it's for keeps. And it's so unnatural for one who is in the world only. So it means part of you is not in the world. When you see that. When you get lifted out of the darkness. And the freedom shows up. It is proof you are not of the darkness. It's really good news. And you can never lose it. You can deny it, but you can't lose it. It's always waiting for you, isn't it? It's waiting for you. And now you know it. Which makes a whole new problem.
Right?
Because now you know you're the problem. If you're not having it.
We torture ourselves.
You can torture yourself. Yes.
Well, so where you at? I was out, my story. Out, I'm weed whacking.
Yeah.
Got all the stuff on, you know, and dog, for some odd reason, I'm hearing the dog bark, so I stop and it's like, what is it? I'm down by, you know, here. So I crawl, get up to a level, and here's this guy walking away from us, me, up the road, our driveway. And it's like, this guy's in jeans and a t-shirt, and it's like, hey, who are you? You know, and he's like, just looks and keeps walking. I'm like, can I help you? No. And I'm like, well, you creep. What are you doing on our property, right? I'm kind of startled. And, you know, mm-hmm. He's like, finally, you know, after more questions, and he's not really giving me any the time of day. And it's mm-hmm. like, well, get the hell out of here then. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, finally, he says, I'm with PG&E.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, what is your outfit? You know, where's anything? And he goes, well, I called, but no one answered. So you just come on the property anyways, mm-hmm. right? So I'm thinking, I'm going to, anyways. So I'm struggling with, you know, pulling it back in, just going, okay, forget it. Just mm-hmm. forget it. You know, I was rattled. And and I was kind of letting it go. And then our neighbor calls and says, hey, there's a PG&E truck here blocking the driveway. I can't get in. And I'm like, that asshole! You know, so I'm like, you know, who blocks? And it's a 20-minute walk for our driveway. And it's like the guy parks right there thinking he can block, you know. So I'm realizing that there is a choice of where I was allowing myself to go, you know, and escalating it, and then can I bring it back? Can I go up? You know, it's just, and at what point do you keep yourself safe?
Yeah.
And is that maybe making a mountain out of a molehill, or, you know, could I have just let it all go?
Well,
there's
a quick test. There's a quick test. What brings you peace? And I'll tell you, sometimes you get a stranger on your property, peace maybe, run, point a gun at them, you know, if you had one, and say, you don't have to show me your badge, I'm just going to protect myself. There's nothing wrong with that, right?
Well, I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah. So
what's your spirit?
You bet. So what we're looking at is the two levels. One is physical, and it operates on force when you're really, really hungry. There's a force occurring in you, and you feel like you really need to eat. If you wait long enough, it just drives you a little irritable and pretty much becomes a priority to get something to eat. Or if you're really tired, you can't keep your eyes open. Can we meet a little later? I just gotta take a nap. This is the world of force. You best understand it and keep it at its level. It will be respected because it is its level. Part of you is in that prison of force. The world, your body, your property, your personal safety. These all have rules. And it's called force, let's call it. And it's the material world. Don't mix it with the spiritual. The spiritual is invisible. Invisible. Your happiness, it's invisible. Your joy, your true joy, the love that you've, highest love you've ever felt, it's invisible. It's another level. It is a level we're going to achieve for you as your true identity that you will take with you and translate everything with. Yes, indeed. But don't mix the levels. Understand them. So that you don't have chaos. It's one of the things we have to learn how to manage here. While we're here. Julie once and I had this discussion of this level mixing. And the course actually uses the term vacillation. Is where you'd really like to be holy, but you're feeling pretty unholy right now. And you try to push holiness on it. It's a big mistake. You try to bring the truth to the illusion and say, how can I treat this trespasser who could harm me?
So, well, what Mary was saying, or, you know, about feeling love.
Yes.
Was it a call for love? The guy's like...
You are calling for love. Not him. You know what? He cares. He's doing his job.
Yeah.
You are calling for love. You felt... ignored, endangered, who knows what.
So that would be the next level.
Yeah. Well, you'll see. Yeah.
If I got my shotgun, I'd be feeling a lot better.
Yeah, then you'd be right and happy.
The only way I'd get all my dogs, my big dogs, all I had was my little chihuahua. And I'm getting me a bunch of dogs.
So how do you do? What do you choose to do? It always, always, always follow the peace. Follow the peace in the moment. And as your learning increases, your awareness will increase. And you won't have so many fears. There will be genuine fears, as I say, for the level of fear. Don't drive the long way on the freeway. That will not be peaceful. I don't care how much Course Miracles you've done. Trying to steer, especially at night, it's really not peaceful.
So, can I ask a question about what Bridget's saying? Would it have been then more peaceful? I mean, ways I would have felt peace would be, I wouldn't have yelled at the guy. I would have stayed in the ditch where he couldn't see me. I would have hoped Kenny would take care of it. would that be what you mean by stay as far as the physical world kind of way of doing it?
Yeah.
And then
follow the peace.
Oh, okay.
Because that's where you are. Course in Miracles will absolutely meet you. Your Holy Spirit will meet you where you are. And if you're feeling anger or fear, that's what you are. Go to peace in whatever way makes sense to you. And when you get a chance at that point, talk to your Holy Spirit. Say, show me this differently so I can have more peace in the big picture. Yeah, that's not mixed levels. Very good.
I was trying to think of the quote. Not Course in Miracles quote, but it's trust in God, tie your camel.
I was going to say that one earlier.
Trust to tie your camel.
Yeah, trusting God.
Tie your camel to a post.
Trusting God to tie your camel. Let's have a circle. Michael, we stand up and we hold hands and say a few nice words and out we go.
Oh, wow.
Yes, they can take that. Yeah.
Take a deep breath. That was a breath of a free person you just took. I don't know what kind of hell you got going on in your life or you're worried about, but you took breath as a free person. Because the only place you actually live is in your mind. No matter what happens and what this world brings to you, you will be living in your mind. You are free. You're free for a very specific reason, for a very real reason. You remain as you were created. And what you were created as is invisible. You've made up a world of dreams, a prison that's got size and shape and costs and needs sleep and food and money. This is what you have made, and it is a prison. There's nothing wrong with it, except it does not have the love that you are. You remain that love. This is what we will call a healing, when you return that and only that to your awareness. Then all of this is fun. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. I'll give you a hug.